This is Pure Decking for Thursday, March the 9th? Yeah, today is in fact the 9th. 2017, maybe. I don't know. What year is Blade Runner? We're getting close.
Getting close, yeah.
Anyways.
I don't know. They're doing a remake. They may change the year.
Oh, okay. Anyways, this is the show about stuff that interests me, like our cyberpunk world, information security, and lack of alcohol. I'm Morphson. Tonight I have... Who is this? We have RU486. What's up, RU?
I don't know, but here's a speed bump to get you through the show. We'll line up this, you'll be fine.
Oh, okay, good. Good, yeah. And Madman. What's up, Madman?
I am here. Life is pretty good, and I have Blue Moon, which is also pretty good.
Yeah, I'm
currently...
Oh...
I'm sorry, we can't all live up to the extravagance of Foster's. No, not being down under.
I'm with that.
And finally, we have Mr. Sard. What's up,
Hello.
Sard?
What's up? Been here enjoying some nice shock top.
Yeah. Personally, I've just been doing a little bit of the old dihydrogen monoxide, so...
That stuff
That's
anyway,
just explosive.
Man.
Be careful.
I hope so. It'd make the belches more interesting. So
just don't do it near an open flame.
Yeah. Yep. Fuck, I'm tired. Anyways, so we see how rough the show goes. Anyways.
Yeah, you start watching one episode of clown porn, you just gotta do the whole
season.
You
just see everything. It's like you figure out there's more on the internet and you just gotta keep going until you get to the end. It's sort of like Breaking Bad or, you know, Walking Dead before the last couple of seasons. Anyways. So I guess we'll go ahead and lead off with the, you know, we'll defy expectations by doing exactly what everyone expects and leading off with the WikiLeaks CIA stuff.
Oh, God, shit came up when I keyed in clown porn.
Don't Google what we talk about.
I assumed if there was something you would not find porn of, it would be that.
Dude, clown porn's a huge industry.
Rule 34 of the internet.
You want a real fun one, man? Hermaphroditic.
Clown porn?
No, it's just hermaphroditic porn.
Oh, yeah, I'm not keying that in.
So I need to go back when we're done with this episode and cut out a couple of Madman statements there. They will be fantastic for the soundboard. The oh god shit came up when I googled clown porn is just needs to be on the soundboard.
Yes, it does.
We will build the virtual Madman to match the virtual Sard, which actually I don't have the virtual Sard loaded up. Sad day.
Become sentient. It's in the wires.
I hope not. That guy's an asshole. All we need is a virtual Sard running around the internet.
Tron your style. Home network.
God, can you imagine?
Sard.
Oh, I'd hate to see you in like a Tron spandex hypercolor thing, riding
Dude.
A shitty motorbike.
You'd be looking at my ass the whole time.
Gross.
Like that thing's so totally made for twerking.
The Tron suit or Sard's ass? I'm confused.
Oh,
yes.
God.
Yes, both.
Why does my brain have to be so visual?
I'm so glad
You're
that
thinking
mine's
of Madman twerking again. You actually got to see that in real life.
Less said about that, about it. Moving right along.
All right, let's start with first and foremost. Was anybody actually surprised the CIA had a cache of hacking utilities? I mean, really?
Nope.
No.
I'm not even surprised that they have a cache of hacking utilities to make it look like Russia did it.
I'm just saying, the last 3 or 4 years with a lot of these WikiLeaks things, why does it not feel so good to... And let me get this right. It feels really good to know that everything I've been saying for the last 10 years is true, and then everything I know for the last 10 years is true now. Oh, God. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yep.
Like, oh, fuck, why were we right about this? That was depressing and horrible.
Well, you know, there's already been... Did you ever read the book? I want to say it's called Zero Days. I'll have to see if I can find it. But they've known that the CIA and other NSA, other government agencies and stuff like that, buy Zero Days and exploits on the black... Well, I guess it's not really
that.
A black market, but
well, the,
a black
the interesting,
market
yeah, the interesting
exploits.
Thing is mostly what they've released in Vault 7 is not any of the actual hacks. It's all... their procedures and their write-ups and how they're going to go about using some of these utilities. So, I mean, and there's a lot here. Kind of scroll through it. They've got stuff in there for attacking Notepad++. They got stuff in there for attacking Grub for Macs and Linux machines. Stuff in here for Visual Studio setup. I mean...
I love they have a department of dank memes.
They do. I'm looking through the projects list. Hyena's Hurdle, BSOD, Flashbang, Magical Mutt, Melamy Drive-In, Ricky Bobby, Fight Club version 1.1, Taxman, Rainmaker, Improvise, Basic Bit. I mean, am I reading out CIA project names or porn? You don't know. I could have slipped a porn in there and you wouldn't have noticed. I just didn't think of the joke after I said it.
Wow.
I mean, you know,
that, yeah, it's not
fine dining,
surprised.
Hammer Drill, Debbie Does Dallas, OBS Passwords, Helpful Tools, Time Stomp, I've used Time Stomp.
There was a
fuck,
porn in that list.
Well, you know, since I kind of called the joke out ahead of time.
Well, the most obvious porn, like it could have gone really not obvious, like Backdoor
Slots.
Well,
okay, Madman, next time I need you to text me the name of a clown porn to slip in there. Since you're now the expert on the subject.
He
googled it.
The giddy gator boys go to the big top. There we go. Gay, homosexual clown porn.
I mean, they got all kinds of shit in here. And it's the write-ups. And actually, I wonder how much of this stuff is actually useful. I mean, they got vSphere web client to open consoles, configuring Wireshark on Ubuntu, because that's hard.
You know how we can get people actually interested in this happening?
How's that?
Let's just bring it up with the SJWs. How many women are actually working in the CIA hacking program? Is it a boys club?
We've got some more project names. After Midnight, Pack Rat, Roid Rage, Cocoon, Velociraptor, Marble Framework, Kraken, Tremor...
Judging by the names, this is a sausage fest here, guys.
You gotta call them something. I don't see what's... I mean...
Dude, it's typical geek naming.
Most, yeah, or Star Wars names or anything.
Exactly.
You know? I've been working on Jabba the Hutt
Fett
all
was
night.
A fag or something like that. That would be a great program.
Fucker.
Well, let's read the press release here. On today, Tuesday, March 7th, 2017, WikiLeaks began its new series of leaks on the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, codenamed Vault 7 by WikiLeaks. Okay, I don't even know where that name comes from.
Isn't that the seed cache of the world seed cache is Vault 7?
Probably.
Something?
It could be something like that.
That's what really confused me when it first got dumped out. They were calling it Vault 7. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Largest ever publication of confidential documents on the agency. Year Zero comprises 8,761 documents and files from an isolated high-security network situated inside the CIA in Langley, Virginia. Follows an introductory disclosure last month for CIA targeting French politicians. Lost control of the majority of its hacking arsenal, including malware viruses, weaponized zero-day exploits, malware remote control systems, associated documentation. The collection is more than the archives appear to be circulated among former U.S. government hackers and contractors in an unauthorized manner. Somebody copied the flash drive. Yeah.
They had another Snowden.
Yeah, they did.
I wonder where the guy or girl is that leaked this stuff.
Hiding for their life. And praying that WikiLeaks does a good job of munging at anything that's going to identify them.
They are pretty good. WikiLeaks are good at that. I'll give them that.
That's true. But, I mean, they've got all kinds of crap in here. So, it's older. Yeah, I'm just kind of scrolling down to see.
Maybe to help disguise their source. Publish stuff that's too new, they can be like, how many people had access to this? It's one of those guys.
So, anyways, Reuters has an interesting write-up following up on this a couple days after it was posted. WikiLeaks will provide technology companies with exclusive access to CIA hacking tools that it possesses so they can patch software flaws. Founder Julian Assange said on Thursday, presenting Silicon Valley with a potential dilemma on how to deal with the anti-secrecy group. Well, I mean, they're controlling who they give it out to. I'd rather see them release it open source, especially because half this shit is open source software that they're attacking.
Right.
If the offer is legitimate, it would place technology companies in the unusual position of relying on Assange, a man believed by some U.S. officials and lawmakers to be an untrustworthy pawn of Russian president. There's more election shit. They're still saying WikiLeaks is Russian. Not clear how he's not a Russian agent. Come on.
He's a fucking Australian. God damn it.
Not only that, I'm not certain he's even still alive. I mean, yeah. Was there a video of him saying this stuff? He disappeared after they because they said he was fucking with Hillary's election.
I don't know.
He might be alive. As of at least 2 weeks ago, I saw him do an interview.
Was the video real jerky? Did it look like it was cut and pasted together?
Yeah, it did.
I didn't think it did, but it was on Fox, so everyone knows there's a mouthpiece for somebody.
I've seen some stuff, but I don't know how real it is and things like that. Close-ups of Assange's eye in slow motion and stuff. It looks like stop-motion capture. It just doesn't look right, but then again, that could just be my shitty monitors or someone's doctored the film.
So they're saying he's still in the in this article, they're saying he's still in the Ecuadorian embassy.
Yeah.
Apparently he did an online conference, and all he's done is said he's going to share with technology companies. They haven't said how they're going to do it.
Imagine how much this stuff
share it with.
Imagine how much this actual program is that be worth on the open market.
Well, considering it's from around 2012, 2013, maybe not as much as you'd think.
Mm.
But depending on what they've got access to, because, I mean, they backdoored Notepad++, for God's sake. I mean, who knows?
I also heard that that release was supposed to be 1% of the stuff that they got. So supposedly there's a shit ton more.
I imagine for teams like this, they have a standard image that they blow on to any hardware that's going to be issued. And that image probably has documentation, tools, virtual machines, everything you need in a toolkit, because the government likes to build toolkits like that. So, you know, it's nice and tactical when you do that. I'd imagine they got their hands on an image, either a laptop or, you know, the actual, you know, ghost file or whatever. So, I don't know. I just, it's interesting. It'll be fun to see what comes out of it. But and I may spend some time picking through it more rather than just laughing at their names. But there's a lot of documents in there, and if they're going to keep posting more, and it really is only 1%. I don't know. I'm not quite certain how I feel about them not just posting the tools at this point. I mean, we all know they have them. What's more likely going to happen is somebody's going to leak them anyways, and they'll just be out there. Because wasn't there a group maybe a year and a half ago called Shadow Brokers that claimed they had all these tools?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. I forgot about those guys.
Yeah, me too.
So I wonder if there's any... One, I wonder if WikiLeaks got up from Shadow Brokers. Maybe they paid them.
I don't think WikiLeaks pays for stuff.
WikiLeaks doesn't pay.
Oh, okay. But,
that we know of.
Or two, Shadow Broker said, fuck this, we're getting out, and just dropped it off at WikiLeaks. So, hard to say, really. I mean,
yeah.
That's cloak and dagger bullshit.
So, I don't want to know anything about it.
I don't know. Any thoughts before we actually get into news stories here? I've pretty much beaten it to death.
I mean, nothing we didn't know that was out there, and we're not surprised.
Yeah.
And let's face it, the mainstream media haven't covered it. Like, no, the story was alive for about 6 hours, and they killed it. Now it's nowhere.
I don't know about nowhere. I've heard it on NPR and Fox. I haven't checked MSNBC because I don't want my ears to bleed. But there are people actually talking about it.
I think what it's going to be, it's going to be kind of like the... oh, shit. The financial documents that were published from Central America.
Oh, the Panama the Papers.
Panama Papers, thank you. I think it's going to be like those, where you're occasionally going to see something pop up out of them for the next month or so, and then everybody's just going to forget about them.
Well, is that possibly because it's a... I mean, the only people that are going to care about these files are security professionals, and, I mean, it's kind of a sliver
I don't know
of an audience, you know?
That's true.
I'm not sure if it's just going to be security people, depending on what all's leaked. Is it? They might give a clue on who all the CIA's been spying on.
Yeah, they if they were developing their own tools, they would be developing for their targets.
Yeah, that makes sense.
As opposed to just buying them.
Right.
So, all right, let's move on here to the next one. This is from usnews.com. Self-defense bill would allow victims to hack back. I think this is awesome. If your smartphone, iPhone, or laptop has been hacked, new legislation would allow you to legally hack back to access the attacker's computer and identify them. Representative Tom Graves, a Georgia Republican, describes his proposed law as a discussion draft intended to jumpstart debate amid routine headline-grabbing cyber attacks. The bill is about empowering individuals to defend themselves online, just as they have the legal authority to do during a physical attack. Completely misunderstanding how this shit works, but I love the concept, Graves said in a press release. Graves said in an email, the bill would serve as a disincentive for criminal hacking because the risk of getting caught will likely go up, foreseeing the creation and use of tools designed to identify attackers who would then be reported to authorities. Current law essentially leaves individuals and businesses defenseless if their antivirus software fails. I want to change that. Well, okay, so he's not wrong. It is illegal to, quote-unquote, hack back, but because, you know, then you're violating computer fraud and abuse just as much as the asshole's hacking you, and there's a lot more to it than just antivirus software, but that point aside... generally, you're going to find that they're either botted machines that are attacking you or people in countries where it's rather difficult to prosecute. So,
this is not how any of this works.
I know, but it's still fun to read, isn't it?
Could it be used to help take down botnets? Because some people might not know that their machines are pwned, and then you crack it, pull up Notepad, and just send them a message. Your machine's pwned. It's fucking attacking me. I will break you if you don't stop it now.
And grandma's gonna look at that message and turn off her computer.
Hey, like, botnet's off. There you go.
I guess.
And the Geek Squad's gonna make a shit ton of money. Anyways,
yeah, exactly.
This guy who came up with the legislation, just career politician. Everything else he's touched has turned to shit.
The Active Cyber Defense Certainty Act. Why is certain?
What?
It's so he can name it AC/DC.
Yes.
Okay, he won 2 points in my book for that.
Back in black.
Seriously, Advanced or Active Cyber Defense Certainty Act, AC/DC Act.
You want to be careful saying "Back in Black" around to Vice President.
He's going to be in my state here pretty soon too.
Dude, give him one of the shirts. Give him one of his shirts. Like a cop, get a shock. Take it in the crap.
Can I get a photo of you wearing this, please? Smiling.
Yes. You'll make an Australian man very happy.
Like, Mr. Pence, or Mr. Vice President, I will donate to your campaign every time you run from now on if I can get a picture of you wearing this shirt.
He'd probably laugh at it, too. That's the best part.
He wouldn't want the photo, like, that's but he'd look at it and go, yeah, that's pretty funny.
That's inappropriate, sir. I'm sorry. It's funny, but it's inappropriate. Let's see. They would amend the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, which bans unauthorized access of computers. It was unveiled Friday before WikiLeaks on Tuesday published apparent CIA documents, blah, 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 blah. The idea of treating computer virus victim like the recipient of a face punch, however, has received mixed reviews from experts. Attorney Ed McAndrew, former federal prosecutor who has worked on cybercrime cases, told Hacker News it might be difficult for people to accurately target attackers. That's for damn sure. This is a real concern, McAndrew told the publication. You could have people hacking back at pivots in the attack. Are you hitting back against an attacker or someone accidentally in the middle? Brad Merriman, a retired FBI agent who leads cybersecurity firm Merriman & Associates, has similar concerns. As someone who deals with these matters on a daily basis, I am not of the opinion that the average citizen is capable of appropriately identifying the hacker, nor do judiciously wielding the type of tools required to hack someone back, he told U.S. News. Merriman said many cyber attacks are routed through other victims' systems after they themselves have been compromised as part of botnet networks of infected computers. Cybersecurity and forensics practitioners are well aware of the difficulty they face in determining an accurate attribution of attack, though the millions of cyber attack victims taking matter into their the thought of millions of cyber attack victims taking matters into their own hands is a vision of chaos fraught with both peril to themselves and to the persons who they misguidedly attack. The bill would specifically allow victims of persistent unauthorized intrusion to access or to access of an attacker's computer to gather information in order to establish attribution of criminal activity, to share with law enforcement, or to disrupt continued unauthorized activity against the victim's own network. The proposal would not allow action that destroys the information stored on a computer or another. Stored on a computer or of another. That's weirdly written. Causes physical injury to another person or creates a threat to public health and safety. So, unfortunately, no diehard computer bombs.
Comcast is hacking me. Can we do a denial of service attack on an ISP?
Well, you remember when I was running that firewall, how often the ISP tried to probe it.
Yes.
Yep. We're under attack. By God, it's coming right for us.
Grab the cord, Billy.
We're going to have every modem and router ping Comcast at 4 p.m.
I can see keyboard warriors mistaking this as a doxing fuck. Oh, I can just dox any cunt that I feel has offended me now.
Oh, good lord. That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
That's what I could see it being used at.
Let's see. Graves,
you know, they hurt
says,
my feelings.
Yeah. Graves said he believes the bill would not become a common legal defense for criminal hackers and says it does not allow hacking of fellow victims. Well, how do you...
You don't know until you hack them.
Yeah.
You don't know it's a botnet until you look at it. Am I correct?
Exactly. You're correct.
This right, am I?
Yes, okay. Yes, you are. Because if all you see is the attack coming in, unless it's an attack you recognize as being identified as part of a botnet, I mean, fuck, if it's just a ping spam, there's so many scripts and shit that does that. This is a self-defense bill that has safeguards to ensure the active defense is only targeted at the source of an attack, and imposes a strict standard of care on the defender to ensure that innocent bystanders aren't impacted. Innocent bystanders on the internet! Okay, the metaphor has gone a little far.
Okay. I do believe in this bill there's a line in there that says from now on all botnets must be named Bob's Botnet so that we distinguish them from non-combatants.
Wow.
Not everyone poo-poos the idea. University of Texas law professor Bobby Chesney offered a detailed analysis for the blog Lawfare, concluding it is a useful starting point, though perhaps in need of refined definitions and oversight mechanism. Other recent federal efforts to combat hacking include legislation shipped into a larger bill in late 2015 to facilitate sharing of information on cyber attacks between companies and the government, which aroused privacy concerns. And in December, a change in federal warrant rules allowed for a single judge to authorize the FBI to hack into vast botnet networks of up to millions of computers and even liberate victims. Liberate victims. Okay.
Wow.
The computer is not a victim. It is not a person. People are victims, usually when they're being punched in the face, or I guess left to die, or chained up in basements. That would be a victim. The computer is a tool that happens to be running the wrong code. Liberate victims, my God.
The language is just so fucking wrong.
It's so informed.
Gray says the bill will not legalize unauthorized access of government computers, though it's unclear how victims would know if the systems are infected by authorities rather than by criminals. That's a good point. I'm going to hack back the FBI, the CIA.
Hey, the CIA now has a way around saying you don't know. They've published their tools. If you see this coming at you, it's the fucking CIA. You're not allowed to hack back.
So here's the thing. The concept of actually being able to hack back to try to identify who your attacker is, it's not a bad one. It's really not. The way it works, I don't know how you give people permission to do that without causing amazing amounts of collateral damage, for lack of a better way to put it.
It gives those with half a cup of knowledge are just going to destroy things.
Oh, yeah.
That's all it is. And, this doesn't work for the end user. It should be detailed that it's only for corporations, and like they're going to be their feet held to the fire if they go after an individual.
Now, even then, dude, most attacks hitting corporations are coming from botnets. Yeah. So it's going to look like, I don't know, AT&T is attacking Granny. I mean, it's like, what the hell? So there's... I love the concept. I just don't know that there's a practical way to actually do it. So the guy putting the bill together is thinking that firewall companies and the antivirus companies are going to put things in their software when they see attacks to attack the victim back or attack the hacker back so they can ID who it is. But
he thinks is Felicity Smoke exists in the internet, but works the way it works on TV.
You know, yes, he thinks the internet works the way it works on TV, where, you know, they explain IRC by using metaphors involving boats and two people on a keyboard to hack faster.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Our user brain is currently hurting. We'll get you the YouTube clip, don't worry.
The little IRC man in a boat. He's the same as the guy in the pink canoe.
They only speak in leet speak, and there's no record of their, you know, having a conversation. You've seen this video, are you?
I probably haven't, but...
It's now going to be in the show notes.
Awesome bit. I just like to point out how emotionally retarded it's been written. If you listen to the language the man's using, he's not using any descriptive words towards what the actual bill entails. He's talking about the emotional feelings of the computer and how the person is being attacked. Terrible.
That's just it. It's almost like he's trying to couch it in self-defense language. Like this kind of language you'd use to say it's okay to hit somebody if they hit you, or, you know, return fire. But there you go. You can enjoy
all
that.
All right, I'm going to take a minute to watch this.
This bill is amazing just because I probably 4 or 5 years ago or so, I had a director that we were talking about, I don't remember what it was, but someone port scanning us, or maybe a email account sending out spam or something like that, and we were telling him about it, and like he literally ran up like with this like, you know, crazy eyes, like, countermeasure, send out the countermeasures, hack them back, and all this, and we just kind of stopped in mid conversation, looked at him like, you realize that that's illegal, right?
My favorite was one of my early jobs when I caught somebody hacking in. Was management, their first reaction was not hack them back. It was, well, we need to know who it was so we can file a lawsuit. Some dude okay. in Korea. I have yeah, no way of getting look. You anything better than that. It was someone in Korea. So it's like, well, we need better than that. You're not going to get it. Well, can we, not can we bring in the FBI? You can. They're not going to do anything. Hilarious. So,
I think I'm a little bit dumber after watching that.
Hurts a little, doesn't it?
I'm glad she knows how to speak Leet. That's a real turn on. Yeah, yeah, that's one thing I list for my dates. Can you speak Leet? Wow, that was just fucking terrible. What was that? What show was that?
Numbers.
I'm glad I don't know it.
Yeah, it didn't last very long.
I can see why.
Well, I mean, it's what was the show where they were getting hacked and you know, so they came over and had like three people on the same keyboard or some bullshit.
I think it was NCIS or one of those.
Probably was.
Were they playing an old DOS game? Before fucking, you know, where you'd have like four people on one keyboard
They were doing like windows flying by, like somebody was hacking through their firewall or something, and I guess it's some random terminal. They were going to do something about it.
There you go, are you?
No more.
You gotta do it. You gotta watch.
So, while Aryu's watching that, let's move on.
Why does she look like a goth child?
She's like 40. In that. Oh, she's even older than that now.
Nah. Fuck off. That's terrible. The fuck you cunts ever found this? I'm embarrassed for you. That is terrible.
Alright, next article is from Digital Trends. One of the least popular new features in Windows 10 is the advertising function Microsoft injected directly into the operating system. Ads show up in a number of ways, from promoting Windows Store apps in the Start menu to pop-up reminders that Microsoft's Edge browser gets better battery life than Google's Chrome. Oh, I saw a report earlier today that Chrome is up to like 50-some-odd percent most of browser usage. So, yeah, good luck with that. While Microsoft is addressing some other complaints about Windows 10, the upcoming Creators Update, such as privacy concerns over the data that's being transmitted and issues regarding how the operating system handles updates, the company seems intent on retaining Windows 10 advertising functionality. In fact, it apparently has been adding OneDrive commercials to Firefox Explorer Extreme Tech reports. And yeah, they're adding ads to the top of the Windows File Explorer for OneDrive. So you get a promotion when you're, you know, just opening your file structure. It's baked into Windows 10, cannot be easily uninstalled, and Microsoft wants to make sure you know that the 5 gigs of free OneDrive storage can easily be upgraded if you, you know, pay for it. But you can, turning off OneDrive advertising is not without consequences. You can go to the View and File Explorer options and select Change Folder Search options. And in the next window, the View menu, scroll down and uncheck the Show Sync Provider notifications. Note that while this should disable the OneDrive ads, it will stop you seeing important notifications from OneDrive. So they're just plugging ads into OneDrive's notification system. So I'm guessing the reason I never see it is because I disable OneDrive. So
yeah, I was going to say that's the crux of this whole article is just disable OneDrive.
If you're persuaded by ads to get some additional OneDrive storage space, the most cost-effective option is get Office 365. Okay, well, whatever. But apparently a lot of people are getting these. But yeah, in case you didn't notice, Windows 10 by stock default has got ads all over it now. Really time to start getting people migrating to Linux. But games and software makes that hard.
Yeah.
Although,
it hasn't actually popped up on me yet.
You ran a bunch of crap I gave you when you first switched to Windows 10 to
hell yeah.
So I doubt you didn't see
all
much
of that
of it.
Shit.
That's but, why I'll stay with 7 for now.
I don't really blame you. At least until Vulkan on Linux catches up and you can start getting gaming performance over there. Better, you know, Wine gets to the point that you can actually run anything. That'd be nice. So, Anyone?
I just kind of want Linux to natively run games.
It does.
Yeah, you can get Steam on it.
There's not that many natively written Linux games.
I'm going to go with all of them.
That's the dream.
So, Madman, you're kind of saying, I want my PlayStation to play Xbox games.
Yes. I do.
But well,
mainly I want
my
PC games to work on all operating systems.
So I would not recommend holding your breath on that one. Just saying. So, but I mean, there are fundamental things in different operating systems that affect what games can run. Yep. I mean, Wine's pretty good. It's got a lot. It still has things that don't work, and they're working on it. I think the best DirectX it does is 9. I don't know. I haven't looked lately. I saw them do a bunch of updates.
I'm not going to say it's a realistic desire, but maybe just design games for one version of Linux. Just have it released whenever you release a game on PC. Like, here's our Linux platform. Here's our Mac platform. Here's our Windows. Only 3, and I'll run the version of Linux that lets me play games. I don't think I'm asking for too much. I might be. You never know.
Most companies only want to release one version of their game, so.
Yeah, I know, because you're literally designing 3 games at that point.
Well, it depends. Like, if you have people using things like the Unreal Engine, which has a Linux build, well, at that point, the engine is cross-platform, so you just need to make sure your content works across all 3, which is really not too big of a deal if you program strictly to the engine. So, I don't know. Maybe you'll see more and more cross-platform engines, so you'll see most games start to cross-platform.
But, maybe Valve will just start making more games. They're pushing Linux.
Well, they have been. They've backed off from it, but that's because Microsoft stopped pissing them off quite so much. But for a while there, yeah, with the Windows Store and stuff like that, I mean, the reason Valve was pushing Linux is Microsoft just pissed them off. So, like, you're attacking our business model, Microsoft. What the fuck? Well, fine. We'll start pushing alternative operating systems. Microsoft backed down a little bit, so we'll see. Next one up is from Ars Technica. Rather than share the now classified technological means that investigators use to locate a child porn suspect, federal prosecutors in Washington State have dropped all charges against the man accused of accessing Playpen, a notorious and now shuttered website. In the case United States versus J. Mikund, which is one of the nearly 200 cases nationwide that have raised new questions about the appropriate limitations of the government's ability to hack criminal suspects. Mikund marks just the second time that prosecutors have asked that the case be dismissed. The government must now choose between disclosure of classified information and dismissal of its incident. Annette Hayes, a federal prosecutor, wrote in a court filing on Friday, "Disclosure is not currently an option. Dismissal without prejudice leaves open the possibility that the government could bring new charges should there come a time when the statute of limitations and within the statute of limitations when and the government could be in a position to provide the requested discovery. The Department of Justice is currently prosecuting over 135 people nationwide who they believe accessed the illegal website. However, in order to find these people, federal authorities seized and operated the site for 13 days before closing it down. During that period, the FBI deployed a Tor exploit that allowed them to find out those users' real IP addresses. The Tor, which obscures and anonymizes IP addresses, blah, 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 blah. DOJ has called this a network investigation technique, but many security experts have dubbed it malware. Defense attorneys have attempted to gain access to some, if not all, of NIT's source code as part of the criminal discovery process. In a related case prosecuted in New York, an FBI search warrant affidavit described both the types of child pornography available to Playpens, 150,000 members, and NIT's capabilities. Last year, blah, 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 blah. So pretty much, because they don't want to give up the way they the malware, instead they're dropping charges against pedophile or potential pedophiles.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, it's fucked.
you go to court, you say, this is how we got the evidence, try to refute it, now go to jail, you itty-diddling fucktard.
Well, how about what we're going to do is that on the day that we disclose how we did this, we want a closed court session as to protect the way we're doing it from discovery.
The issue with that is the defense has the right to examine the evidence, so they have to be able to give it to a computer expert to say, they didn't plant this, this just let them track the computer. So the defense's security expert has to be able to see this in order to put on a valid defense. It can't just be closed off to the lawyers alone.
So here's the thing. Not only are they letting a pedophile, potential pedophile, I should say, since they did not go to court for it, they're letting them off the hook because they don't want to provide the tools or the methods they used to identify them. That means they, because they're refusing to release it, they were fully expecting to prosecute someone and then say, well, we can't give you the evidence for national security reasons.
Then how about charging the head of who's in charge of running that sting operation with supplying child fucking pornography?
No shit, right?
Right. If you can't convict this guy, then you're at fault here. Like, this is bullshit. Because if you're not convicting people, you're just hosting child pornography fucking stuff. Yeah, There's no reason.
The entire justification for leaving that up was we're doing something bad to catch several bad people.
Yeah, and now you're not prosecuting, so I think they should be prosecuted for supplying child pornography.
I don't think there's a reason not to disclose this to the defense and just let them examine it and then try the guy.
Unless the evidence is way more shaky than they'd like to admit.
Unfortunately, if it's shaky evidence, they can come up and say, this is why you're wrong. That's what a trial is for.
Absolutely, it's what a trial is for.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to think of other reasons other than just, we're afraid people will fix the bugs.
Well, on this, they were downloading the porn, so how do you get around, I want to see this image and not get what all's embedded in that image?
There are ways around that, but I don't want to advertise them.
Yeah, okay. Don't advertise it. So how come they couldn't just convict him on having images of child pornography?
They have to prove that there's a legal reason for them to search his computer.
We have good suspicion.
How did you get the suspicion?
Ted told me.
Okay, Ted, how did you know this guy had child porn? They'd then call Ted.
Seen it in a dream. Does he have it or not? Yeah, he's got it. Well, fuck him.
Seen it in a dream isn't a reason for a warrant.
I get what you're saying, madman, but you know there's a dude who's got child pornography. You don't want to fucking expose yourself and how you're doing your operation. All right. I want Billy and Ryan to go down there and sit outside this motherfucker's house, right? You follow him everywhere he goes. You find a fucking reason to pull that motherfucker over. And then we'll figure out why we need a search warrant for his house.
You know, they actually got caught doing that with the NSA surveillance programs.
Called parallel investigations.
Yeah, they were passing it off to the FBI and local police. Catch people doing stuff.
Sorry, man, when it comes to kitty fuckers, the law to me...
Well, the law is meant to protect us even in bad situations. It sucks, but the only way for it to be effective in preventing a totalitarian state is if we apply it to everyone.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, madman. Maybe I'm just too emotionally fucking...
Oh, no, well, it's an emotional thing. I can understand that. It's just, you need to... The law should be done through reason, not emotion.
Yeah, exactly, madman.
The reason I'm even bringing up the story is because I think it's fucked that they're more concerned about protecting some tool or how they took over a website than they are prosecuting someone who's potentially hurting kids. I mean, come on.
Yeah. You go after the kitty diddlers, you can stop. Worry about stopping the next batch later.
Exactly.
Right now, it doesn't matter if that tool is important. You're saying that tool isn't allowing you to do the job it was meant for.
Not a good tool.
Yeah.
So it might just be a one or two time use tool, whatever.
I mean, what, did they honestly think they could kangaroo court somebody and just, hand wave the evidence? No.
They thought they could because it's pedophilia, and enough people will just say, he's a pedophile, hang him.
Well, that's true, but, I mean, I don't know. I want the guy to get a fair trial, but if he's really a kiddie diddler, yeah, you know.
We're going to be properly hung, but I'm going to say that's a good judge.
Look, the only reason I can see around this is that, you know, like, maybe it scared the absolute fuck out of him and he'll never go near that shit again or even think about a child.
Well, that's possible, true. I mean, that's possible.
Yeah. You know, and that would be a minor win. That's the only thing I could take away from it.
Well, hopefully he's just guilty of a thought crime and he hasn't actually diddled a kid.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if he's just downloading and looking at the pictures, that's still sick.
Yeah, see, I don't even think it's a thought crime, madman. Because someone had to do something to that kid, and you're complicit in it. Because the only reason they were motivated to do that and take pictures of it was for profit.
Yeah, I'd say that one.
I don't think it's a thought crime. I mean, sitting here going, yeah, bashing a baby's skull on a rock, that's great, but I'm not looking at pictures of dead children, am I?
Well, I don't know. I have no idea what the shit you look at half the time.
Well, yeah, it's
and Madman Google's clown porn. So I mean, come on.
Well, you've seen the war videos I post. There's probably dead children in that. But yeah, I don't think looking at kitty diddler shit online is just a thought crime.
No, that's a fair argument.
Once again, an emotional argument, but fuck it.
Well, on that one, at least there's a line of evidence because there was a child harmed in the creation of child porn. So even if you didn't harm the kid, you're profiting from the harm.
Well, yeah, you're right, because it's not really pornography, it's documentation of a crime.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're obviously not going to rehash everything on why pedophilia is bad, but I'm just...
Yeah, no.
I think it's shitty that you have them willing to drop a case, detect a tool, and they've got 200 of these cases. So, are they going to drop them all? If that's the case, what was the point of running this sting operation?
This is precedent. Every other trial that hasn't concluded right now, and then all the ones that have can try to appeal based on this.
Well, the other thing is they were saying they're trying to get the case dismissed without prejudice so that they could bring the charge against him again once they figure out how to prosecute it without having to reveal their tool.
Well, they're still going to have to reveal the tool. I think they're trying to push it off until the tool has outlived its usefulness. Until somebody patches for it.
So, but why round these fuckers up until they've figured out that there's a patch for it?
You can't hold someone indefinitely without a trial.
No, that's what I mean. Why not just leave them out in the environment, in the world? Then once the investigation's concluded, right, we have all these names, fucking swoop in, grab every fucking last one of them.
Well, there is a statute of limitations. They do have to prosecute within a certain period of time, but it's measured in years, so... I don't know.
Okay, I'm not Googling that.
Don't Google Playpen.
No, do not Google the statute of limitations on viewing child pornography.
Jesus that Christ, is... madman. There's curiosity, and then there's wanting to be put on a watch list. What the fuck, man?
I stopped. I didn't get into Google.
How far did you get typing? Because Google sends every keystroke. You realize that.
I didn't key anything into Google. I opened up another window. I was like, oh, nope, the fuck out of that. Quit.
I am willing to go into as a character reference for you, madman, to go, yes, he is a very curious young man, Your Honor.
Sorry, you might know something about this. No, I'm kidding. I'm stopping. I realized how bad the joke I was about to make was. I was about to make a joke and be like, oh yeah, you might know something about statute of limitations. I'm like, whoa. No,
pull up.
Stop. Rocket snail, bad joke.
Okay.
I'm trying to use the joke to pull him into the conversation, and that was not going to work right.
And you think I'm nasty to you. I'm not. I'm lovable, dude. Look what Morps does to you. Cast aspersions.
Sard, what do you think? I think he's muted.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Anything?
I got nothing else to add. I don't know.
I don't have any more on it.
All right, let's move on to the next one. This is kind of a fun concept. If living on Mars is the realm of science fantasy, or science fiction fantasy, one NASA scientist has an idea which could make it possible in a matter of years. Speaking at the Planetary Science Vision 2050 workshop at the NASA headquarters in Washington, one scientist presented the extraordinary idea to put a magnetic shield around Mars to restore its atmosphere, which could eventually make it habitable. In a talk, NASA's Planetary Science Division Director James Green set out how the organization could be in a position to carry out daily science and exploration on Mars. The workshop was aimed to discuss the ambitious space projects that could be implemented or at least started by 2050. Speakers included a range of experts on space technology, which set out their vision for what planetary science could look like in the future. Mr. Green said that launching a magnetic shield to a stable orbit between Mars and the Sun could shield the planet from high energy solar particles. In the past, Mars had a significant amount of water before its planet lost 80 to 90% of its atmosphere over its lifetime. The shield would consist of a large dipole, which is a close electric circuit powerful enough to generate an artificial magnetic field. The shield would allow Mars to slowly restore its atmosphere. Mr. Green's modeling of the shield found the structure could enable Mars to build up half the atmospheric pressure of the Earth within a matter of years. The shield would protect the planet from solar winds, and the greenhouse effect would start to heat the planet and eventually melt the ice under its poles. Perhaps 1/7 of the ancient ocean could return to Mars. The solar system is ours. Let's take it. That, of course, includes Mars for humans to be able to explore Mars together with us doing science. We need a better environment. The theory seems possible. This could be one step towards transforming Mars into a habitable planet in the next 100 years. So, let's see. I thought they had a picture in this article of what he wanted to build. See it now. But, anyways, yeah. It's not exactly the giant mirror from Futurama, but it's pretty close.
But you can see it from here.
You can see it from there.
Yeah, but it's pretty much the giant mirror from Futurama.
Yeah, it's pretty much the giant mirror from Futurama, but they want to put it around Mars instead, block radiation, and yeah, it's interesting. It's a neat idea.
Yeah, that's about it. It's kind of silly, I think.
If it works, you start terraforming Mars. Why not? So, I like the guy's. I like the guy's quote though. The solar system is ours. Let's take it.
Yeah, big claim. Yes. Big claim, dude.
No one else has claimed it yet, that we know of. And NASA has fund, or Congress has funded a trip to Mars by 2033.
A lot can go wrong between then and now.
I'll believe it when I see it.
All right.
And then last I'll article. Say why.
Yeah, yeah. Last article I have for tonight is from the Lifeboat Foundation, Safeguarding Humanity. It's some blog. But anyways, two Americans aim to plug into the Matrix through black market brain implants.
Oh, they're retarded, or they're going to be shortly after those fuckers stored out and fry their damn brains.
You're not wrong.
You thought they were retarded now, madman.
Yeah.
Wait till after the operation.
According to the Mirror, the two men are looking for a doctor who is skilled enough and willing to propel them into the Matrix. The procedure itself has a high risk of failing since the technology at hand has never been tested before on humans. If they come out of this alive, the two men will be able to establish a direct communication route with the first forms of artificial intelligence that's currently available. This cranial chip may provide the first step towards creating the Matrix. If this proves to be successful, the unprecedented advantage will probably tempt others to undergo the same surgery, and eventually the entire population plugged into this new reality. If it works, it's Ghost in the Shell, not The Matrix, you dumbass. At least tie it into the movies that are coming out for proper promotion. Come on. Here's a name. Zoltan Istvan, leader of the transhumanist movement and U.S. presidential candidate, claims to personally know the two Matrix innovators and, even more, supports their mission, as he is convinced that humans should utilize technology to artificially boost their intelligence and physical capabilities.
Daniel, why did the guy go fucking look this guy up? Yeah, I know him, buddy. And that's all he quote from him.
I mean, you're looking to the leader of the transhumanist movement, and his name is Zoltan.
He's the dude that wears the fucking boot on his head, isn't he?
I think... No, that's Vermin Supreme.
Okay.
His vision of the future allows for basic body functions to be simulated using these futuristic implants that would allow humans to heal or access unreachable functions of the brain. Okay, we don't have unreachable functions of the brain. If you have all functions of the brain firing at once, that's called a seizure. Anyways, the technology is similar to what DARPA is currently developing for the future soldiers. So, yeah, no, we use all of our brains, just not all at once. That theory that, oh, we only use 25% of our brain, that's from, like, the 1900s. Come on.
I just don't want to have a grand mal seizure right now. Or possibly ever.
They're fun. You never hear people complaining about them when they're happening.
Sard, have you ever had a seizure?
No, don't ever want to have one either.
And
if
anyone
good,
out
thanks.
There does have them, I apologize for making light heart of it.
Oh no, it's terrifying. Your body goes nuts and you usually fall flat on your face.
You think it's terrifying for them? What do poor people who experience it around them?
We had a guy in high school who would routinely have them, and I mean, he'd be sitting there in the class, you'd just hear him make a noise, and boom, yeah. He face plants on the floor.
I got used to it being around somebody. You just learn what to do when they're having one and wait for it to end.
Exactly, but you see people the first time they actually see someone seizing out in public. Because I used to work with people who had epilepsy and tremors and things like that, and you know, you'd get all these people just say the most retarded shit, like fucking grab his tongue. What? You're gonna lose a finger. Like, don't be stupid. Just clear the area around them. Let them finish their seizure. Put them in the recovery position. By this time, you should have decided already taken the time of when the person collapsed. If the seizure's lasted longer than 3 minutes, I think that's the time still. Then medical care is needed. If not, go on what the person wants.
So, but, I mean, but yeah, if you have all functions of your brain randomly firing off at the same time, that is in fact called a seizure. So this concept of, oh, we're going to hit unused functions of the brain. Okay, buddy, calm down.
Ooh, but if I hit the F key, he shits himself.
Don't let him hear the microwave.
Man, watch out, madman. He may hack you back.
It'll be the law soon. Everything just started tasting purple, Your Honor. I believe I've been infected with some malware.
Well, you see, I hit F, he shit himself, then he pushed F on me, I shit myself, and then everything went purple, and we've been doing this for months. Right? I never want to go to work again.
I don't know. I think having chips inserted in your brain is probably a pretty good way to give yourself a seizure. So,
oh yeah,
you're probably not wrong.
Those leads. Luckily, you're bolted down and under heavy anesthesia because you'll twitch like a motherfucker.
Madman, for a procedure like that, you'll have to be awake.
Oh, this is great. You'll know that you're retarded. Like I feel myself getting dumber, sir. I can't do maths anymore.
Wait, guys, why am I talking like this?
Have you ever watched Brain Surgery?
Yeah, yeah, they're actually awake so they can know what they're doing when they poke your brain.
Yeah, they assess you constantly. Dude, this poor fucker is going to be awake when he just fucking twitches out.
Like, everything tastes like peanut butter.
Do you smell burnt toast?
Nice. Oh, I can just imagine they're sitting there inserting the chip and the guy starts speaking with a weird accent or something. Like, what did you do?
I would not be a good candidate for brain surgery because I'm sitting there fucking with him. His brain's everything blue.
Don't fuck with your brain surgeon while he's in your head.
How many people could say after they've come out of the surgery, dude, I trolled the shit out of you. You were shitting yourself, doc.
By the way, why did I end up with a cone head? I don't
remember
understand.
When I punched the anesthesiast? You thought my arm moved involuntarily. No, I just didn't like the faggot. But just one question. Why am I just constantly pissing myself, doctor? Oh, because I'm a cunt. Fair enough, you got me.
So, Doc, you hooked up that pleasure button, right? You hit the pleasure button. Oh, I shot myself.
Ow.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I can't wait. There's an instant orgasm button. Ow.
Oh,
go in, doctor. My head hurts every time my phone rings. Doctor picks up his phone, just keeps dialing your number. Did you to be a cunt while I'm fucking surgery on your brain, you asshole?
I thought you guys liked it when I started singing the national anthem. I don't understand.
Oh, Canada. Anyway.
Oh, fuck. Anyways, so back to the story, the idea of these Matrix trips, I mean, it's underground backyard brain chips. I don't know how well that's going to end, but if it works, hey, more power to them, because I know a couple years back they had the chips they were able to implant that people were controlling limbs and... they weren't putting them in the brain, though, were they? They were attaching them to nerves.
Well, the upside to this, Morps, if they are doing it in the backyard with, you know, unregulated doctors, enough people will die like backyard abortion surgeries to where we'll have to make transhumanism, you know, a thing.
I'm fine with the concepts of transhumanism a little bit. If I can say it, that's great. I'm fine with the concept of transhumanism, but... I don't want it to be Gen 1. If I'm going to go in for the prosthetic body, I want it to be like Gen 3, Gen 4, so you don't look like a creepy doll.
I don't think Joe Bloggs should have first access to it. I think it should be a military application first. I want it to be completely solid to where it puts no actual extra strain on any public health ordinance. Prosthetic or whatever fucking fails, and that's on you. That the state's not going to pay for it. I'm looking at transhumanism from a socialist point of view for, you know, our health system.
Sure.
Where you're looking at it from a capitalist, you know, everyone looks after themselves, Republican idea.
So, it's one of those things where it's like, if it works, yeah, go for it. Great. Get the computer interface, get the machine gun arm and, you know, whatever, but go reenact Ghost in the Shell or something. But I do information security for hacking people. That'd be great. Yeah.
Like, I'd be more looking at for, dudes who've been hit with IEDs,
of course, that'd be the first
acquired brain injury, you know, rewiring stuff like that. I'd like to see it really be used for that before it's up for some dipshit coffee drinking fucking hipster transhumanist to fucking get prosthetics.
I think we're saying the same thing, just differently.
Yeah. My flavor of transhumanism is the rewriting of DNA. That needs to stop being held back.
Yes, good call, Mad Ben. I'd like to see genetics.
See how many people get this reference. I'm all for Iteration X, and apparently Mad Ben's for the progenitors. Got it.
Yep.
So... yeah, nobody's going to get that one, I'm betting. Anyways, let's play the Digital Dojo sound.
Yo!
Hadouken! Alright, I think I cut somebody off with the sound. Was somebody going to add on to the thing before I moved on?
I was going to say, with my flavor, It has two very positive upsides. One, great superpowers for humans, and two, wonderful, wonderful biological weapons for annihilating specific parts of any population.
You just want to recreate the X-Men.
Yes. And also like targeted biological weapons.
In other words, Madman would like to reenact the Holocaust.
And have Wolverine's superhuman healing abilities and live to be 300. Yes. All of that.
All right. First thing I have up in Digital Dojo is a new tool that just got released a couple of days ago called a Docker Scan. For anybody, Sard knows what it is, but Docker is a containerization system where you can take applications and bundle them all up into an image and then deploy that image with Docker. A lot of people kind of use it for VM Lite, but really it's so that you can make sure that applications, as you deploy them, have the correct libraries, support systems.
You don't get stuck in dependency hell.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of shit that can come in with these. So what this tool does is it analyzes how Docker is, or a particular Docker application is set up, and it'll pretty much show you a bunch of information about analyzing the Docker image. So it looks for things like passwords and environment variables, URLs and IPs, tries to deduce if the user actually wanted to run it or if the thing had a script in there that was trying to run things. It can also break apart Docker images, get you the meta information out of them, and do things like screw with the Docker database, delete things, whatever. So it's pretty new. He's adding features, he's adding documentation, but if you work with Docker images at all, this is probably a good tool to have just so you can break them apart and see what they do before you run them. And then the last thing I have is from Usenix, from the Enigma conference. They have posted most of their videos of their talks. Now, their webpage is a little wonky. You kind of have to click the article that you want to see the video for, but then they have the write-up with it as well. And you can click the little play icon, and it'll flip to the page with the article and the YouTube video. So
That's cool.
The article, you can get the write-up, and Usenix. All those. Yeah, it's Usenix, but it's from the Enigma conference from 2017. So, new batch of videos. These are always good to have for conferences.
Yeah, definitely.
These seem a little bit more political than technical, but, hey, it's something. So, adversarial examples in machine learning. That looks like a fun talk. There's another one on here that I thought looked interesting. Past it too fast. Oh, operation of a DDoS honeypot.
Oh yeah, that sounds good.
National scale cybersecurity, the DARPA perspective, emerging signs of lights from the Department of Defense, whatever. Anyways, yeah, but there's some decent looking talks in there. So, anyways, that's all I've got. I'm out of dihydrogen monoxide, and we've made a lot of really bad jokes tonight, so I'm ready to just wrap up the show. What about you guys?
It's all good, man. There's some neat talks on here, like I said.
Oh, yeah.
We'll go through this.
Are you closing thoughts?
No, I'm just going to leave it alone now. I did enough.
Are you daydreaming? Is that what that was? Like, what the fuck?
Oh, I was just coming up with some more stuff about brain surgery, but I'll leave it at that.
Why does everyone look like a horse now? I don't understand.
Sort of like that, Morps. More sexual preferences.
You gonna make it where people like their women like they like their whiskey? 12 years old and mixed up with coke?
Holy. As I said, let's just leave it.
Anyways,
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.